Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
I keep circling this. What if the strongest prescription for health isn't at a pharmacy? It's in the people around us. What if lasting change has less to do with grit and more to do with relationships?
That lands for me. I spent years white-knuckling it. Solo gym sessions, strict meal plans, and burned out every time. Then I joined a tiny neighborhood running club. It stopped being me versus the world and started being us.
And everything felt lighter.
That lift you felt isn't just vibes. I want to dig into how connection shows up in the body, stress systems, immune responses, the whole inside-out story.
Before we go there, can I say the quiet thing out loud? When people succeed, I keep seeing a support net behind them. When they struggle, the net's missing. I resisted that idea for ages, but it keeps staring me in the face.
Yeah, and the reason runs deeper than motivation hacks. Isolation carries a physiological price.
As in loneliness actually hurting you?
More like chronic stress turning the volume up and never letting it drop. When we're cut off or feel low in the pecking order, the body sits in fight or flight.
Right. The system built for tigers, not rent notices.
Exactly. And it's not subtle. A landmark study from WHO estimated hundreds of thousands of deaths in a single year from heart disease and stroke linked to long working hours. Classic psychosocial stress in action.
So we're not talking busy week stress. This is structural.
It is. Two useful lenses help explain it. First, psychosocial comparison. Constantly clocking where we rank. Not just, do I have enough, but do I have what they have? That gap perception grinds on the system.
Which is why a 5-minute scroll can leave you feeling like you're failing at life. No actual danger, but your body doesn't know the difference.
And that shame signal isn't imaginary. It tweaks neuroendocrine and immune pathways. Over time, you get cumulative wear and tear, what researchers call allostatic load.
So community isn't just workout buddies. It's protection against that ceaseless ranking and the feeling of being outside the circle.
Social glue, basically. When hierarchies get steep and loud, that glue weakens, and health takes the hit, individually and collectively.
And then we reach for quick comforts. The snacks, the smokes, not because we're reckless, but because we're trying to cope.
That's the material context. Environments soaked in stress shape choices. It's not a character flaw. It's a heavier physiological load.
Which changes how I think about willpower. Maybe the person failing is hauling twice the weight I am.
Yes, and that load, that allostatic wear, is exactly where community becomes less optional and more biological.
Walk me from idea to body. How does a running club, or two close friends, actually counter that wear?
Through buffering. There's a long-standing idea called the stress buffering hypothesis. Strong social support blunts the health impact of the same life stressors. Bad workday, money worry, health scare.
The hit still lands, but it doesn't rattle the whole system.
Picture a suspension bridge. Daily hassles are cars. Without cables, without people, each car jolts the deck. With cables, the force spreads out. The bridge stays steady.
So my club wasn't only about showing up. Talking through the hard miles was quietly absorbing some of the week's shock.
Down to chemistry. Feeling seen can dial back cortisol and help the HPA axis settle to baseline faster.
Same event, two endings. Alone, the stress echoes. With support, it fades.
And the effects spill into wound healing, immunity, inflammation, not just mood.
Funny how support sounds soft until you realize it's as tangible as sleep or food.
Here's the twist I love. The benefits don't just come from receiving help. Giving it can be even more potent.
Giving? I'd think that drains you.
It often does the opposite. Being useful reinforces purpose and competence, the antidote to that corrosive, I don't matter loop. You're not at the bottom rung, you're holding part of the structure.
So the person who organizes the run, brings soup, or answers the 9 p.m. got a minute text is practicing a health behavior. I like that better than the safety net metaphor. It's more like a trampoline. Everyone jumps, everyone gets lift.
A trampoline is perfect. Active, collective, and fun. Not just catching you, but sending you higher.
And feeling useful isn't just nice. It's a physiological event.
A psychological shift with bodily consequences. It meets a deep need to matter. When you help, the feedback is immediate. You count here.
Which cuts straight through the comparison shame. You can't be worthless while you're being of use.
Exactly. It also interrupts rumination. Less time stuck in your own head, less fuel for anxiety and low mood.
Does the kind of help matter? Moving a couch versus sitting with someone while they talk?
They work differently, and both matter. Moving the couch is instrumental support. It removes a concrete stressor.
Problem gone. Stress down.
Right. Talking it through is emotional support. It doesn't fix the outside problem, but it dissolves the aloneness and strengthens the bond.
And that's the stronger buffer, most of the time?
Often. Instrumental help can feel transactional or make someone feel incompetent. Emotional support, done well, is pure connection, no debt ledger.
Yeah, I felt that difference. One can sting, the other just lands as care.
Which is why quality beats quantity. It's not how many people will show up with a truck. It's who could you call at 2 a.m. without fear of judgment.
Sometimes, just knowing you could make that call changes everything.
That's perceived support, your belief that help is there if needed. It predicts health outcomes even more than the help you actually receive.
So, the trampoline sits under you, whether or not you're mid-jump. That quiet safety changes how you move through the day.
It loosens the risk calculus. You apply for the stretch role. Try the new habit. Have the hard conversation. Because if you fall, you don't shatter.
Which flips the whole health equals willpower story. It's not about being a tougher soldier. It's about having better company in the foxhole.
And here's the sticking point I've been holding back. What about the person whose foxhole feels empty? Or who tried to build the trampoline and kept snapping springs?
We have to name that. For some, especially if you're introverted or you've been hurt, building connection can feel riskier than staying alone.
So, how do you start if make friends sounds like a trap?
Start tiny. Maybe not a club. Maybe one human. And maybe you begin by giving, not asking.
Find a place to be useful.
Yes. One small act of service. Text a check-in. Walk a neighbor's dog. Volunteer an hour. It flips the dynamic. You're not asking to be let in. You're bringing something. Lower stakes, less exposed.
And it builds that sense of mattering, which makes the next connection easier. Upward spiral, engaged.
Upward spiral is exactly it. The counterweight to the downward one. My last take? Patience. You're rebuilding part of your health infrastructure. Bricks, not fireworks.
And one of those bricks is treating relationships as core health behaviors. Same row as sleep and nutrition. Not an afterthought.
Same row. That's a shift. Which makes me think, maybe the question isn't, what are you missing if you go it alone?
Go on.
Maybe it's, who is missing you?
Who is missing your way of listening, your steadying presence, your ability to lift? That turns the lens from deficit to value. That, I think that changes how you act tomorrow.
It does. Your gift to others might be the medicine that heals you too. And I'm glad we finally said all of this out loud.